No matter where you are, it's Texas Standard Time on this Monday, the 6th of April, 2020, at the start of a week that U.S. Surgeon General Jerome Adams has ominously described as this generation's Pearl Harbor moment. I'm David Brown. Good to have you with us. You know, that's alarming rhetoric, to be sure, an attempt to brace the nation for an expected spike in coronavirus casualties over the next 2 weeks or so. But the nation's top infectious disease expert, Anthony Fauci, has been putting a different spin on this moment, suggesting that this could also be the start of a leveling off, a so-called flattening of the curve, in his words, within a week, maybe a little more. During a time when Texans have already witnessed much that's unprecedented, the checkpoints at the border with Louisiana added another bit of surrealism for many motorists this weekend. Westbound cars on interstates and other roadways connecting us to the Bayou State were stopped and travelers screened by the Texas Department of Public Safety. Motorists asked to fill out forms with names, home addresses, contact info, and a statement on where travelers will be quarantined under governor's orders. Another spectacle involving long lines. You may have seen them. Images of cars and SUVs snaking up and down parking lots and for miles outside of food banks in places like Orlando, Florida, Cleveland, Ohio, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Indeed, across the country, people from every socioeconomic level have been lining up for food assistance. Many of these folks, for the first time. Emergency officials who prepare for things like hurricanes and floods say the national surge in the demand for food is unlike anything they have ever seen. It's a measure of the economic stress faced by millions of Americans all at once. Here to help us understand the impact on the Lone Star State, we are joined by three people who help feed Texans. Derek Chubbs is president and CEO of the Central Texas Food Bank. Derek, welcome to the Texas Standard.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Also with us is Libby Campbell. She is executive director of the West Texas Food Bank, and she's out in Midland, Odessa. Libby, welcome to the Texas Standard.
Thank you for having me.
Erica Yeager is chief of external affairs for the North Texas Food Bank, and she's joining us now from Plano. Erica, welcome.
Hello from North Texas.
Let's begin with just how significant of an increase y'all are seeing in the amount of people seeking assistance from your respective organizations. Derek, let's just begin with you, and we'll go in a circle here. What are you seeing?
Well, David, nothing has stretched our ability to serve Central Texans as much as COVID-19. We're seeing, and we cover a 21-county area, and in certain areas we're seeing 30 to 50% increases, and in other areas we're seeing 100 to 300% increases. So the need, or the increase in need, is extremely significant.
Libby, what about out in West Texas?
Well, I mean, we have a mixture of problems, you know, along with the virus itself, but we are dealing with an oil slowdown or a bust, really, one might say. We're a pretty resilient community out here. We're a lot of grit and grace, but because we're used to just the oil price kind of dictating how our economy goes, whether you're in oil out here or you're not, everyone's really in oil. So we had already started to see some people being laid off for their jobs about a month before this really started. So our need had already started to increase by about 20%. So you add this onto what we're already seeing in our oil community, and we have so many people who work in the service industry out here, whether it be in restaurants or hotels, because we have such a nomadic population in the 19 counties that we cover, which is about 34,000 square miles of West Texas. So it's the same size as the state of Maine.
Wow.
We're seeing over a 45, 50% increase easily just in what we're having to distribute between, you know, of course, the pandemic, and then you mix that in with oil prices dropping below $20 a barrel.
Erica, what's it looking like in North Texas right now?
Well, like my colleagues, we're seeing an increased need as a result of a lot of the furloughs and layoffs that have impacted the service and the hospitality industry. But for example, our typical mobile pantry sites pre-pandemic fed about 300 households. And today we're seeing 800 to 1,000 households in need at each one of our distributions, feeding these households in less than 3 hours, frequently running out of food. And then one of our largest partner agencies reported seeing a day's worth of clients where 70% were visiting for the first time. So what this tells us is that the issue of food insecurity is growing exponentially due to this pandemic.
Just so we're clear about this, I mean, I see this, you talk about food insecurity. This is clearly a measure of economic stress, no doubt. I mean, people who have been laid off don't have a source of income all of a sudden because of the clampdown, the stay-in-place orders, that kind of thing. But we're really talking about a large number of people that you might not think of as living sort of paycheck to paycheck, right?
Yeah, David, something that we like to say during a normal period, if you want to define it that way, is that the face of hunger isn't what you think. You know, a significant portion of those that we serve here in Central Texas, Austin and surrounding areas, are already working households. So just, friends and neighbors trying to determine how they can make ends meet. And typically, like my colleagues, we're the bridge between getting to that 3 weeks when the money runs out, getting them over that hump. Now, Austin, like my colleagues, we have, this is a very busy town relative to hotels and restaurants and music. We have all of those that are now on top of that. So normal, it's pretty challenging. But today, it's something like none of us have ever seen before. We also have to determine what the balance is between minimizing the risk that's associated with our staff and volunteers and trying to meet the growing need.
Boy, that's an important point, too. But before I want to go back to Libby in just a moment. But Erica, I want to make sure I understand something that you were saying just a few minutes ago. Did you say you were running out of food on certain days?
Exactly. At our mobile pantry distributions, we distribute pre-prepared family meal boxes. So at each one of our distributions last week, we did not have enough boxes to feed those that were in line. We're not necessarily running out of inventory, but at these distribution sites, we have found there is a greater need than we're able to serve.
So how is this changing your strategy? I mean, if you're seeing the numbers of people who need food coming, are you having to, how do you get the food that they need?
Right. So at the North Texas Food Bank, we've completely redesigned our production model to align with a new distribution model. So it's all drive-through, low-touch distribution. So we are procuring items for these family meal boxes, about 25 pounds worth of shelf-stable food, including canned protein, canned fruits, canned vegetables, peanut butter. So we're, like my colleagues, doing the best we can to procure these items in a market where the supply is actually getting harder and harder to obtain.
Libby, are you having supply issues there in West Texas?
Well, I think we're interesting if you compare the difference between us and Austin and North Texas. We are Midland and Odessa. We're a smaller rural, what they consider a rural food bank. So we have a hard time procuring fresh food as it is. Plus, because we are off the beaten path, we have less access to large distribution centers. So we don't have the ability to do as much maybe salvage and reclamation as other food banks. So we have always had to purchase a lot of what we provide to our clients. But there is definitely starting to be a problem, or maybe I don't want to say a crisis, but definitely an issue in the supply chain itself for us to be able to procure large loads of food, even when we're purchasing them, because there is a stress on the system between not only food banks are suddenly we're trying to purchase 30,000 pound plus trucks of green peas or whatever it is we're looking for, but also our grocery retailers are.
All right. We just have about a minute left, and I want to find out how much of a concern the current situation is. I mean, how long is this sustainable, and for how long? And also, what can people do to help if they can help? And while we're there in Midland, Odessa, Libby, how would you answer that question?
I mean, right now at this point, every food bank in the country needs monetary donations to help keep purchasing loads of food, to kind of keep us in that queue of when there are large loads of food available, we're already in line waiting.
So, Derek, I'd assume you would agree?
I would agree. The best thing for us is clearly monetary donations at this point, because we typically depend heavily on donated food. And if our retail grocers' shelves are empty, then that naturally they're not donating food to us, which means that we have to purchase that food, which is not normally part of our business model. So yes, monetary donations to provide us the opportunity to procure food.
And Erica, up in North Texas?
I agree with my colleagues. I think the impacts of this virus are going to be longstanding, especially for those people that are living paycheck to paycheck. So the need for support is not going to go away on the other side of this. I think if anything, we're going to need to see increased support from our community because the impacts will be long term.
Erica Yeager is with the North Texas Food Bank. Libby Campbell is with the West Texas Food Bank. And Derek Chubbs is with the Central Texas Food Bank. Thanks for all y'all are doing on the front lines. We appreciate it.
Thank you,
for having us.
Thank you.